Good morning. Today's daf Mem Metzias Mem Beis. We are finishing up yesterday's daf Mem Alef Mem Beis. We are right in the middle of the Amud. We're starting with the words Rava, Rava Amar. Rava's of the position. Before we get to Rava, just a little bit of background. We're talking about Shlichus Yad. If you're a Shomer, so that means that you have to watch the item. You have to return the item. It's very simple, very straightforward. However, we talked about responsibility. We talked about liability, and we also talked about Shlichus Yad. If you go ahead and you take the item that you're a shomer and you use it for your own usage, for your own purposes, so now you're mishalech bo yad, and at that point in time, your shmiras falls apart. In other words, whatever exemptions you had previously, you no longer have, and you're going to be liable for the item as if you're a thief. In fact, we can go one step further. You are a thief. You're taking something that doesn't belong to you. Your responsibility, you were tasked with the job of watching it, and instead of watching it, you rather use it for yourself and by a shoel. So in a moment, we're going to be talking about Shlichus Yad by a shoel. That's going to be a little bit trickier, but before we get to shoel, so if you're a shomer chinam, if you're a shomer sachar, so you were paid to watch the item, or you were watching it without payment, either way. So once you're mishalech bo yad, so at that point in time, now the shmir falls apart. With that stated, so we got into a discussion yesterday's daf, mem alef, babin siya, and that is, what is Shlichus Yad? What does that look like? What does that mean? So what it means is that you misappropriate. But again, that's great. We're just using words. But misappropriating meaning, what exactly does that look like? So yesterday we got involved in a machlokas between Rav and Levi, whether or not Shlichus Yad requires a chisaron. Does it require a diminishment of its value? In other words, to be mishalech bo yad, you have to actually take away from its value in order for it to qualify as Shlichus Yad. So that was a machlokas between Rav and Levi. Admittedly, yesterday we weren't sure where Rav stood on the issue, but when everything shakes out, it comes out that according to Levi, so it does not require chisaron. So that means to say that according to Levi, what is Shlichus Yad? It's usage, period, according to Levi, and you don't have to take away from its value. And so what we were doing yesterday, and we're going to continue to do today, is we're done within the Shita of Levi. How many parshios are there of Shomer are there in the Torah? So three parshios. There's one for Shomer Chinam, there's one for Shomer Sachar, and there's one for Shoel. As I pointed out yesterday, we're not going to go through the Pesukim right now. It would be better if we did, obviously, but we're not going to. But if you look in the Torah, you look in Mishpatim, you'll see the parsha of Shoel, so clear, that's talking about Sheila. Which parsha is talking about Shomer Chinam and which parsha is talking about Shomer Sachar? So there it gets a little bit fuzzy, but the Gemara works it out. Anyway, Shlichus Yad is mentioned how many times? All three parshios, which we're going to point out right now. So you're going to find Shlichus Yad in Shomer Chinam, in Shomer Sachar, and in Shoel as well. So and Rava makes exactly this observation, and we're going to pick it up where we left off yesterday. Rava Amar Lo Tomar, or Lo Teamer, Shlichus Yad Lo B'Shomer Chinam V'Lo B'Shomer Sachar V'Teis Mishoel. You know, the Torah didn't have to mention Shlichus Yad, didn't have to mention it neither by neither by Shomer Chinam nor by Shomer Sachar. Just leave it at Shoel, and we would have figured it out. It wouldn't have been that hard. Mashal Diladas Balam Ka'avid Shalach Bayad Chayav Shomer Chinam v'Shomer Sachar Lo Kol Shekein. So the argument over here is so simple, so straightforward. As a Shoel, you get to use the item. Now again, as per instructed by the owner, but you get to use the item. That's the definition of Sheila. You're borrowing the item, which means that obviously you're going to use it. And if at any point in time you pick up the item with the intention of, hey, I'm going to keep it. So at that point in time, now you move from being a shoel to now being a gazlan. You're a mishalech bo yad. Parenthetical note, by the way, if I may. Right, we tried yesterday. It's really tricky. What exactly is the difference between shlichus yad and gzela? Meaning it sounds very similar to one another if they're not exactly the same. So I quoted a Rashi yesterday. We're going to do it again. I'm going to quote Rashi again. Anyway, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge it's not an easy task to figure out exactly what the difference is between Shlichus Yad and Gzela. Anyway, close parentheses. Let's go back to our Gemara. So if the Torah would have taught me Shlichus Yad by Shoel, look, by Shoel, I'm allowed to use it, and yet if I take the item and try to make it mine, that's Shlichus Yad. So if that's true by Sheila, of course it's going to be true by Shomer Sachar and Shomer Chinam. Shomer Sachar, Shomer Chinam, I didn't even have right to use it. And now if I pick it up to make it mine, so you don't think that there's going to be now a We've abrogated the shlichus, and now I am going to be fully liable under any and all circumstances, obviously. So lama nemar. So now it comes out that how many times does the Torah need to tell me shlichus? Once, just by she'ela. And I don't need it repeated, neither by Shomer Sachar nor by Shomer Chinam. And so now we have not one, but two explanations that we need to do. So so as far as the one extra is concerned, so you don't need chisaron, meaning like the shita of Levi, like we saw in yesterday's daf. And second time, because if all I had was a kavachomer, so then we would have capped the kavachomer. We have the rule of Dayo in Baba Kama. We spent a lot of time with Dayo, right? There was a daf or two in Baba Kama exclusively dedicated to this topic of Dayo. I want to say the Lamed, but I hope I remember correctly. Anyway, but the idea of Dayo is that whenever you are extending a halacha from A to B, and I'm using a kavachomer to go ahead and extend the halacha, so the halacha cannot be any greater in B than it was back in A. So over here, we're extending the halach of shlichus yad. So if I'm going to go now from Shoel over to the Shomers, Shomer Sachar and Shomer Chinam, what do I know when it comes to Shoel? So I know there's a Petura Bala Vimo. So if you're not familiar, totally forgivable. We're going to be spending a perek on this topic here in Bab Metzia, later in the Masechta. I hope I'm right. I think it's the eighth perek. Anyway. So the idea is that if you're a shoel and the owner's together with you during your she'ela, so you're pater. Anything that happens, normally you're chayiv, or chayiv even ba'onsin, but if the owner's with you, so there is a p'tur of ba'al of imo. We'll spend much more time with it later on. As you can imagine, there's a lot of things that you need to figure out. What does that mean? He's with you. Okay, anyway, but we'll get there. So I would have thought now that I have shlichus yad, but I'm learning it from she'ela. If I only had it by she'ela, so now I have the principle of Dayo, which means now that Shlichus Yad, there would be a Petur of Baal of Imo, and that would extend to the Shomers as well. Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar. That's what I would have thought had I had only She'ela. That's why the Torah needs to repeat it. And Av Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar, Baalim Pater. Sorry. Without it, I would have said Dayo. But now that I have the extra Shlichus Yad, but by Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar, so once to tell me that Shlichus Yad does not require Chisaron, like the Sheet of Levi, and a second time, so that we don't say Dayo. So Laman, Damer Shlichus Yad, Shlichus Chisaron, Nani Tarch, Shlichus Yad, Lamali, good. So now, but what if I subscribe to the Sheet of Rav? Yesterday's daf, Rav said that in order for it to be Shlichus Yad, there must be Chisaron. So now, according to him, I have two extra Shlichus Yad. What do I do with those two? So good. So one is to cut off, to shut off the principle of Dayom. And a second time to tell me that in order to be when the pasuk says v'nikrav, and by the way, this pasuk is by Shomer Chinam, you're going to go to the Beis Din. So that is, going to the Beis Din is a function of Shvua. Ata omer l'shvua, oh, eino ela l'din. How do I know? Maybe it's just simply to adjudicate. Maybe it's not for Shvua. So, nemer shlichus yad l'mata v'nemer shlichus yad l'mala. Malahan l'shvua. So, avkan l'shvua. So on that, so we're going to use now let's call it a gzeres shava. So, by the parsha of Shomer Sachar, it says v'nikrav. So the, I'm sorry. By the pasuk of Shomer Sachar, it's true, it does say v'nikrav, so, but it also says shvua. So too over here, by Shomer Chinam, it means shvua. So in other words, so the purposes now of Shlichus Yad being repeated both by Shomer Chinam and by Shomer Sachar is to basically open the portal between the two of them, creating, if you will, a hyperlink, for those of you who can appreciate that, between the two of them. And now I know by Shomer Sachar, for sure there's a shvua. By Shomer Chinam, there's going to be a shvua as well. Okay. And that's why I need Shlichus Yad by both. Adkan. That takes us to the end of yesterday's daf, and now we continue. Okay, so after spending a day yesterday with the topic of Shlichus Yad, so we continue now on basic halachas regarding Shmira, Membez Amud Aleph. Amafkid Mal Seitz Chaver Tzaron Viv Shilna Achor Avosh Abasum Levno Levito Akitam V'Nal Bifneim Shalok Karoi. Chayav. Somebody gives you money to watch. Simple case of Shmira. And what do you do? A horrible job. You do an awful job. So examples of an awful job would be, well, example number one is Sarin Vihiv Shil Nacharav. You put it on your backpack and you're wearing it on your back. The Gemara is going to criticize this method of Shmira for the simple reason that it shouldn't be behind you, it should be in front of you. Good. We'll see the Gemara together in just a moment. Or you give it to your minor children. Self-evident. Meaning that is just simply irresponsible. And now b'fneim shelo karai. Or you put in a room, but you don't lock it up. Wildly irresponsible. So in all these cases, chai shelo shomer kederech shomer. So over there, that's not how a shomer operates. In other words, the shomer has got to behave in what is considered a responsible norm. And over here, these are not responsible norms. They're irresponsible. As a result of that, you are poshea. And as a result of that, you're going to be chayav. V'im shimer kederech shomer pater. Now, if you do standard shmira, so then you're going to be pater. Okay? Good. Straightforward, simple. In other words, for you to be considered a shomer and protected with all the exemptions that a shomer is protected. Again, shomer chinam is going to be protected for not only ones, but also for gneva v'aveda. And a shomer sachar is going to be protected from ones. So, but you're only going to be protected if you do standard and responsible shmira. So the Gemara just simply questions the first example of irresponsible shmira. I gave away the answer. The Gemara here says it. So yeah, in other words, you tied up the money. That part was good, but then you put it on your back. That's irresponsible. Meaning it has to be in front of you so that you can watch it. Okay, simple, straightforward. Parenthetical note, the Gemara here, darshan's the pasuk. Obviously, the drasha here is taking the pasuk way out of context. Meaning the pasuk over here is just talking about being poda meiser sheni. And the idea now that this pasuk is talking about how to be a shomer, so it's out of context. But okay, meaning it's just, it could be an asmachta, but whatever the case is, it's irresponsible to just simply put it in your back. As long as we're here in this pasuk, we're going to darshan another drasha, also an out of context drasha, but still, it's a mesorah. It's part of our tradition, and that is that you should be liquid. In other words, you should have cash available at all times, right? I know lessons from an older generation, but always carry cash, right? I'm sure, right? I'm sure you were given the same lessons of life. The Amr of Yitzchak Lolam Yashash Adam Esmausav. Now, in terms of investment, so next time you sit down with your investment advisor, so you're going to be citing the Gemara Bamitzia Daf Membeis, and that is Lolam Yishalish Adam Esmausav. So your investment portfolio should go into three different directions, and it should be divided 33%. Shlish Bekarka, Shlish Bepakmatia, Vishlish Tachas Yado. So what you should have is a third of your money is invested in property, a third of your money invested in business, and a third of your money should be liquid and should be readily available. Now, you want your money to grow, so what you should do is you should hide your money. Now, hiding your money over here probably does not mean, putting it under the mattress. Hiding it just simply means living in a very modest fashion. In other words, not showing off your money to other people. So ba'asa mecha over here, samui, meaning something which is concealed. Tandebe Rabbi Shmuel in a bracha mitzvah yelah b'davar she'ein ayin sholatas bo. The Gemara quotes Tandebe Rabbi Shmuel, seems to be a very similar point. I'm sure that there can be small distinctions and differences made between them, but regardless, in order for your money to have bracha, so you have to put it where people don't see it. And he's drawing from the same pasuk, so it's more or less the same point. Omer. So you're now going to your granary and you're about to measure. So before measuring, before you know how much is there, So Omer Yeratzom Afanecha Hashem Elkeinu Shetishlach Bracha B'Masi Adenu. So what you do is you make a tefillah. Now it's not too late to make the tefillah because you don't know how much there is, right? And by the way, this idea that you don't know how much it is goes back probably to the previous point of the Gemara, meaning that when things are hidden and concealed and you don't know how much it is, so then Akash Baruch Hu has it that he could just simply add more and it doesn't require a nes nigla. In other words, it's now a nes nister, so to say, which is how Akash Baruch Hu operates the world. So the but now once you get to the point where you know exactly how much it is, and now you want more, so now you move from nes nister, now you're a nes nigla. The Akash Baruch Hu prefers not to operate in that fashion. So Yiratzom Fanecha Hashem Elkeinu Shetishlach Bracha B'Masi Adin. His Chalamod. Now, right before you do the measuring, so Omer Baruch Hashlech Bracha B'Kriyazem. So you make a bracha, and that Akash Baruch Hu should give you bracha in this kri. Okay, is a bracha over here said b'shem amachus? Is it not said b'shem amachus? So Rashi not in today's daf, but elsewhere Rashi gives the impression that it is b'shem amachus. Anyway, now if after you measure, now you make a bracha, Akash Baruch Hu, please provide me more in this. So now tefillah shav, meaning at this point in time it's too late. As for the Gemara brachos that we know. Let me just finish the sentence. Lefi sheina bracha mitzuya lo b'davar shakol v'lo b'davar amad v'lo b'davar amanu e'lo b'davar samu minayim shenem yitzav Hashem oscha es ha-bracha ba'asamecha. Okay, because that's not how bracha works. Once it becomes a known quantity, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be adding to the known quantity. In other words, only as an unknown quantity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to add more. Again, probably, right, I think I'm saying the correct shot, because when it's an unknown quantity, so now it's an ace sister. Right, but once it's a known quantity, so then for Akash Baruch Hu to add more, that's an ace nigla. It generally doesn't work that way.
Why can't it be a bracha shavas
adah that you're? Okay, it could be. The Gemara's assumption is that the bracha is that Akash Baruch Hu should add more. But in other words, right, if you want to flip it where now you're thanking Akash Baruch Hu, could be. But the Gemara's assumption is that the bracha is a request. Okay. Amr Shmuel. Okay, so a couple of divrei agadata in today's daf. Agadata Ashkafa. We go back to becoming a shomer. Somebody gives you money to watch, so what do you do with the money? So you watch it. You're a shomer. And that shmira means what? You have to put in a protected area. What is a protected area? Get ready for your instructions. Amr Shmuel Ksafim Ein Lahem Shmira Ala Bekarka. So Shmuel says that what you have to do is that you have to bury the money under the ground. And that will be the only prudent way to protect the money. So when you are given money to watch and you want to now consider yourself to be a judicious, a responsible shomer, so what you're going to do is you're going to dig a hole in the ground. You're going to bury the money under the ground. So somebody gave you the money right before Shabbos. It is an unfair expectation now that you're going to start digging a hole. And if you didn't dig a hole under those circumstances, you are not considered irresponsible, because you were simply not given the time to go ahead and dig the hole. And so therefore, you will not be faulted if you were given the money in Erev Shabbos. Now, after Shabbos, so now you're on. Meaning you were given the money right before Shabbos. You left the money in your home. Again, that's not irresponsible. You didn't have time. He didn't give you time. After Shabbos now, you go ahead and you delay. So now you are irresponsible. Now, the Gemara says, interesting additional point over here. Now, if Tzurba Mirabanan, if the Mafkid, the owner of that money, I'm saying it like Rashi right now, if the Mafkid, if the owner of that money is a Tam Chacham, so now immediately after Shabbos, what he may do is he may run over to you and say, hey, you know that money I asked you to watch for me? I need a little bit of that money. Why? Because I want to make Havdalah. And, you know, it's better to make Havdalah a la Kos. And so, if the person giving you the money, depositing the money, he gave it to you right before Shabbos, again, you're given a pass on having to dig a hole in the ground because just no time. After Shabbos, you also are not going to be digging the hole in the ground because he's a Talmid Chacham, and there's a good chance he's going to want to take some of that money. Okay. So, just the obvious point, which is the Talmid Chacham, he's got to make Havdalah. Don't the rest of us also need to be making Havdalah? Right? Havdalah is a requirement on everybody. And Rashi over here, Rashi is operating with the Gemara and Brachos, but Rashi over here writes, "Hu cheired al mitzvah Havdalah al hakos." And he's a real frumer. In other words, what does he do? He makes Havdalah over a cup of wine. Right? I think that's what we're all supposed to do. Okay, so good. So clearly over here, there has to be, right, just within the context of our Gemara, there has to be an ideal way of making Havdalah and a less than ideal way of making Havdalah. And the ideal way is a la kos. But what's the less than ideal way? Without a kos? Meaning, is that even an option? Probably, if I can suggest, probably over here, ideal and less than ideal would be over a cup of wine, and less than ideal would be, right, orange juice, so to say. In other words, something that's significantly cheaper. Maybe that's the two-leveled Havdalah. Anyway, we go back to our Gemara. Now, our Gemara says that if somebody gives you money to wash, then what you're going to do is you're going to bury it in the ground, and that's proper Shmira. Ve'ayina d'shchicha g'shushe, where on Membeis Amid Aleph, we are the first wide line. Ve'ayina d'shchicha g'shushe, in lahem Shmira, ela b'shmei kora. Now, nowadays we have g'shushe, okay, a group of people who, with their metal detectors, so they're combing the ground to see where the money's hidden. Okay, I know it's an anachronism, I know, but you understand. Just, you know, looking it through my eyes. People who basically have this kind of sensitivity, the geshushim. So va'ina d'shchicha prumai ein lahem shmira ela b'nei orve. Now, so I'm sorry. And if you have the geshushim around, so you put it in the shmei kora, you put it up in the attic. Now, nowadays, also we have the prumai. Again, a group of people who are somehow able to know what's going on in your attic. Don't ask me, I don't know. So then the Gemara says, Ela b'nei orve. So then what you're going to do is you're going to put it between the bricks. Amar Rava Moda Shmuel b'kosel. And Rava would say that Shmuel would be in agreement that if you put it in the wall, that would be fine. Now, v'hayina d'shricha tapuchai. So we have people who are, I'm just playing on the word over here, tapping on the wall. Okay, I'm not sure if my translation is good. Regardless, the point is that you have people who are able to know what's going on in the walls as well. Ein lam shmir ela b'tefecha samach l'karka, o b'tefecha samach l'shmei kara. So putting in the wall is still going to be insufficient. Put it in the wall, but either proximate to the ground or proximate to the ceiling. Okay. There is a lengthy discussion over here. I'm just touching on it. And that is the following. So let's say now what you did is you did your due diligence. You did your responsible Shmira, and you dug a hole in the ground, you put it in the ground, and now someone came along and someone stole it. Okay. And you're a Shomer Sachar. Now, a Shomer Sachar does not get a pass on Geneva Va'aveda. What about this kind of Geneva? Such a great question. And I say great question, this is exactly what the Long Tosfos over here discusses. And that is that you're a Shomer Sachar now. Now, a Shomer Sachar does not get a patur on Geneva Va'aveda. But over here, I dug a hole in the ground. I put it in the ground. I then put dirt on top of it, right? So over here, I did exactly what I was supposed to do, and now I have a ganav who was able to uncover it, dig it up, and steal it. In other words, is this the kind of geneva where I'm going to be liable in? Or maybe not. Meaning, over here, it's not just a ganav came into my house, but a ganav dug into my dirt. In other words, can't we call this now an ones? And shouldn't I be pater as a Shomer Sachar? Good. So Tosfos discusses, he deliberates. See the Tosfos over here who really gets engrossed in this particular question. We're going to go on in the Gemara. Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rav Yosef Rav Ashi Asam Tanan Chamish Anafal Alav Mapolos Areyu K'mavur. Okay, we just had Rosh Chodesh Nisan yesterday. So okay, so now we can learn a Mishnah Pesachim. And the Mishnah Pesachim says very clearly, the house collapses, there's chametz underneath it. Do I have to now start digging through the rubble in order to eradicate the chametz? Alternatively, chametz is eradicated. It's buried underneath the rubble. So the Mishnah says, clearly, harehu kimavuar, consider it destroyed. So Rosh Shimon Gamaliel Amar Kol She'ena Kelav Yachol Lechapes Acharav, and the Rashbag says that if the dog is not going to dig it up, so then it's considered buried. But if it is so superficially under the rubble, where the dog is going to go there, and the dog is going to dig it up. So that's not considered destroyed. And now you're going to have to go ahead, dig it up, and destroy it. V'tana kama chafisa zekelv gimel tvachim. Now the Gemara there in Pesachim says three tvachim deep. So if it's superficially anywhere within three tvachim, so now you have to go ahead and dig it up and destroy it. If it's below three tvachim of the rubble, so then it's considered destroyed. Good. That's the Gemara in Pesachim. That's the hilchas, the halachas of bir chametz. Now hachamai mi bina shosh tvachim alom. So over here we have a responsibility to hide the money underground. How far underground do we have to go? So is it the same as hilchas chametz bePesach? So Amalei Hasam Mishum Recha Beinan Gimel Tvachim Hacha Mishum Ikusta Me'ena Lo Beinan Gimel Tvachim. Okay. The distinction, which I think intuitively we all would have guessed, I would have gotten this one right. I'm more than happy to share with you which ones I would have gotten wrong. This one I would have gotten right. In other words, when it comes to the chametz bePesach, so over there the smell, meaning what's going to attract the dog to the chametz, the smell. So over here this is money. So he just simply needs to be covered. V'kama amar rafra misichra tefach. Okay, so the Gemara says that it has to be buried at tefach underground. Okay, good. We have gone over today, and Membeis, so far, most of the Amud Aleph, and effectively, we just simply said, right, to succinctly say over the first Amud of today's daf, you're a shomer, so there are norms in terms of what is considered responsible shmira, and you must be within those norms in order to be exempt. Again, exemption is going to be based on what kind of shomer you are. For a shomer sachar, your exemption is on ones. For a shomer chinam, it's going to be on ones, geneva, ve'aveda. Good. But you have to be within the norms of shmira. And all we did so far today, not a small thing, is that we went over some of those norms. And we spent most of our time talking about money. And what is considered the norms of shmira when it comes to money and burial underground. And we went over the specifics. Okay. For the remainder of today's daf, literally from here until the end of today's daf, so we're going to go over a number of cases. Case number one. Some of them are repeats of what we've done earlier. Case number one. We're on Membeis Amud Aleph. We are most of the way down, right? I'd say about eight lines from the bottom. How will govern if Kidzuze Gabe Chavre Uzvin Batsarfa de Urvani Ignov? So somebody gave me money to watch and what do? So I put in my hut. Now the hut over here is unbelievably flammable. So in other words, it was irresponsible to put it there. However, the hut didn't catch fire, but somebody went into the hut and stole it. So this is a classic case of Geneva, and let's assume that the person's a Shomer Chinam. So I'm Rav Yosef Avagav Delin Ganve Nitirasahi Linyanura Pshiyosahi. So look, from a Geneva standpoint, so again, you're a Shomer Chinam, you're Pater. But you putting in that hut, you had it exposed to possible fire damage. And so it was Tchilaso Pshia. You shouldn't have put in that hut to begin with. Okay. That was irresponsible. It just happens to be that what actually occurred was a case of ones. So this is going to fall under the category of Tchilaso Pshia, Visofa Ba'ones. Here in Bam Mitzia, this is now at least the second time that we discussed this topic. Okay, and you're going to be chayiv, even though what actually occurred is ones, but because you put it in a place you shouldn't have put it in, so this is tchilas b'pshia, sofa ba'ones, and right now we're taking, according to version number one, the position that you're chayiv. Igadami, here's version number two. Avgav delin yinur b'pshiyos ahi lin yinganav din tirasuhi, utchilas b'pshia, sofa ba'ones, pater. So in version number two, it's the same analysis. It just happens to be that version number two's conclusion is your putter. And the Gemara makes this discussion nice, short, succinct. And that is that the halacha follows version one, not version two. Meaning that you're in fact going to be chayef. That's number one. Number two. How will gavr diifki zuzi gabi chavri amalei havli zuzi amalei lo yadana hecha usvinu? We saw this before, we get to review this again. And that is that I was entrusted with money to watch, and now when the owner comes over and says, hey, could you give it back to me? And what do I say to him? I have no recollection where I put it. Okay. Now, even though a Shomer Chinam has a Ptur of Gneva ve'aveda, so that means that if the item is lost, so then you're a Pater. But over here, this is not Aveda. This is Poshea. You don't even remember where you put it. That is not the item became lost. It is. You're just simply, forgive me, I'll say it. You're an idiot. Okay. But yeah, that's, okay, the language is strong, but that's the point. The point is that you were a Poshea, and somebody entrusted you to watch something, and you can't even remember where you put it. That's Pshia. Good. We said this before. We got to say it again. Next. How gavra di ifke zuzig abe chavre shamin le ime v'usvinu bekartilisa v'ignov. Okay, so what happened? Somebody gave you money to watch. And what did you do? You gave it to mom. Mom, who is living in your house. I think that's an important detail. And I think I'm correct. She's living in your house. See, she's a member of the household. Okay. And so what you do is you gave it to mom. And you said, hey, mom, could you do me a favor? Just watch this money. Now, as will become clear in just a moment, you didn't let mom know it wasn't your money. In other words, you just simply said, hey, mom, watch this money. Leaving mom with the impression that it's your money. Okay. Now, what happens is that she put it in a chest. She did good. Right? Mom was responsible. And then the money got stolen. And obviously, we're talking about where you are a Shomer Chinam. So, Amar Rava, Heicha Nidainai Dina Lahaidina. So Rava says, this is a tough one. And Rava says, I'm going to struggle a little bit over here with how to correctly judge this case. Name Alele Zoshlim. So Amar Kol HaMafket Al Dasi Shovanav Hu Mafket. Now, what are we going to say to the Shomer? You are a Shomer Shemaser L'Shomer. Remember, we had this topic right here in the third parak of Bar Mitzvah, in the earlier part of this parak. And Shomer Shemaser L'Shomer, that's negligent. Meaning you're as a shomer not supposed to give it to another shomer, right? And we had that discussion, and you were a shomer sacher, and he was a shoel. But in other words, shomer shemasal a shomer, like that's irresponsible. But the Gemara says then and now, that's true. But in other words, but the expectation is that when somebody gives it to you to watch, he trusts you and every other member of the household. In other words, as a shomer, you basically represent the home, and he, the owner, understands. It's going to be you or another member of the household. Okay. So this is not a violation of Shomer Shemaser L'Shomer. Right? Kol HaMafkid. The rule is, again, we saw this earlier in our back on Lamed Vav, and we get to see it here again today in Mem Beis, and that is that when you deposit something by somebody, so that includes Banav, right? Isho Vanav. Wife and children. And first of all, the children have to be adults, right? Excellent. And we're going to add, by the way, that mom's included as well. Meaning, it says Isho Vanav, but over here we're talking about mom. That's why I'm assuming that mom over here is a member of the household. Right? She's not living elsewhere, I assume. Okay, so Neima Leila Ime Zilish Lime. So now what are we going to tell? What are we going to tell? Mom, you're going to go and pay. You're going to have to pay. You're liable, mom. So Amra, so she'll say, Lo Amra Li Dalav Dideinenu, Dakbarinu. So now, her counter-argument will be, well, you know, my son didn't tell me that he was a shomer over this money. He gave me the money with the impression that it was his money. And so had he told me that he's a shomer, so then I would have done the norms, as we learned on the Amud Aleph of today. I would have buried it underground. But he didn't tell me that. So name ale amaylo amartla, I'm a koshakin dechi amina la dididin enutfei mizdarabahu. Now, so we'll turn to the son and said, she made an excellent point. Why didn't you tell her? And his counter argument will be, my mom likes me. Can you imagine as a legal argument, right? Baruch Hashem. All right, she doesn't like me. She loves me. I tell her that the money belongs to me forget it. Right? I give her the impression that the money belongs to me. She will take even better care of it. Oh, okay. And halachically, legally, that's a good argument. So Ella Amarava Mishtabi Iu Danu Zuzi Shaminali Ime, U Mishtabi Ime Danu Zuzi Uzvina Bekartalasa Vi Ignav Upater. So Rava says, okay, so my conclusion therefore is gonna be is that the son is gonna tell the owner, look, in other words, I passed it along to my mother, which again, as a shmira responsibility is perfectly legit. Mom is going to then testify that she put the money in the chest and the money was actually put away for safekeeping. And now each one of them is going to come to court, make that declaration, and they're both going to be potter. Okay. Next case. Hahu apatrapa diasme dezavan lehutura liasme umasre lebekara. So, there was an apotropos, obviously a trustee who was responsible, an executive executor, responsible for the estate of Yisomim, children without parents, orphans. And what he did is that he bought with the estate money, he bought a shor. There is a whole series of gemaras and rules in terms of what the apotropos is allowed to buy, what he's not allowed to buy with the money. Okay, but for our purposes, let's just assume right now that that purchase was a legitimate purchase. Okay. Now what happens is as follows is that he took the shore and he handed it over to a shomer, a roebucker, a shepherd. And Zamalutur liasme masra lebakara. So he gave it over to a bikara, right? He didn't give it over to another ox, but a bikara is a person who's responsible for oxen, a shepherd. And lo havalei kach v'shine. Now it happens to be that this ox that he purchased didn't have teeth. Lamechal umes. And now what happened was is that because the oxen didn't have any teeth, so he couldn't eat, and therefore he died. Okay. So amrami bracham eichin adina dina lahaidina. So over here. So again, this is not Rava. It's Rami Barchama, but same issues. This is a tough one. A lot of people involved. A lot of miscommunication or lack of communication. Like, I don't know what to do here. Okay. Or I'm going to struggle. Let's say it like that. Name alay lapachapa zilshlim. So what am I going to do now? Am I going to now accuse and put the blame on the apotropos? Amaran labakar masitin. He'll tell you, I gave it over to the shepherd. Meaning, right? What do I know from how to take care of animals? I gave it to the shepherd to watch. Okay. Good. So name alay labakar zilshlim. Okay. So let's turn to the shepherd and say, okay, you pay. Amaran bahani ture ukmita uchla shadaile. Lo havi yadina de lo achle. So the shepherd will say, look, in other words, I didn't know that this animal was special needs. I didn't know the animal didn't have teeth. And what did I do? I did what I do with all the other animals. I fed the animal. I put the food in front of the animal. Okay. In other words, then I got a lot of animals. And so I did what I think is responsible. Like, what are you looking at me for? So michti. So the Gemara says, well, Shomer Sachar is now serving whom? So he's serving the Yisomim. So in other words, the Shomer Sachar is serving the Yisomim. And so now, yes, it should be the responsibility of the Shomer Sachar to go and to check the animal and to make sure the animal's like functioning, got teeth, can eat. So Hachanami. So the Gemara says, okay, so that happens to be a really good point. So hakama maskin delekep seida diasme. So the Gemara says, oh, so you're right. In other words, if that were just simply the case, meaning as we just analyzed it, so then point well taken. So the Gemara says, we're talking about a scenario in which there was no loss to the Yisomim. Why? Deshkechuna lamari deture v'shakol yasme zuzimine. What happened was is that the Yisomim found the original owner of the animal, and what they were able to do is they were able to get their money back. In other words, what the Yisomim claimed is that it was a mekach tos, meaning that what we bought, and again, we bought it through via the apotropos, but what we purchased is what we thought was a functional animal. And meanwhile, you sold us a dysfunctional animal. Okay. Mekach tos, the kids got their money back. So now the kids got their money back. So now what's left to adjudicate? So Elaman Katayin. So the Gemara says, okay. So now who's taking whom to court? So Mara Deture Katayin Ibayle Luduin. So the Gemara says that now the court case over here is between the original owner and the shepherd. And my modi inlay mediada the mechachtaus hava. So the Gemara says now, if the original owner sold the animal and it was a mechachtaus and had to go ahead and return the money, So the Gemara says, so how in the world is the original owner now taking the shepherd to the court? In fact, he knew it was a Mekach Taus. So the Gemara says, Besafsere, Dezavan, Meacho, Mazvan, Lahacha. So the Gemara says, well, what happened was over here was the following, and that is, it wasn't a direct sale from the owner to the estate. In fact, there was an agent. And so over here, talk about a complicated scenario over here. So now we have a sale between the owner and the estate, but the sale was done via agency. There was a middleman. And so now the owner didn't know that that which animal was sold, the dysfunctional animal was sold. And so now he is taking the shepherd to court because he believes that now it became the shepherd's responsibility to have checked the animal, seen that the animal over here was not an animal that could eat, should have notified him. In other words, that's why the Marukama now is taking the shepherd to court. So, Hilkach Mishtabi Iudalo Havayada Umashleim Bekar Deme Basabazol. So that at that point in time now, so you're going to make a shvua that he didn't know, and now what the shepherd's going to do is he's going to be paying, but he's going to only be paying Basar Bazol. He's going to be paying it at a discounted rate. See Rashi over here at length. So why exactly he's going to be paying at a discounted rate? But he's going to be paying at a discounted rate.
You get the skin from the animal.
Yeah. Right. Correct. Okay. And one more for today. Sure. One more for today. How gavadifkeid kishusa gabe chavre. So havaleli dide nami. So karya dikshusa. Okay. So what happened over here is that I deposited hops by a brewer. It happened to be that the brewer himself had his own hops. So there were two piles of hops. So one trip I made over my lifetime to St. Louis, just one, but yes, I went to go to the I went to tour the brewery. Okay, it's massive production over there. Anyway, so do I still know what hops is? No, don't know what it is, but I get it. Okay, it comes from a tree. I figured as much. Right? They don't whatever. They show more of the bottling than they show the actual. Mm-hmm. Making anyway, so two piles of hops. So one belonged to the owner, and the other one belonged to the person who asked them to watch it. So Amarle Lasar saying, so Mehai Rami. So now, the owner says to one of his brewers, one of his workers, so do me a favor. In other words, let's go brew a batch today. So take from that pile. So he points in the general direction. And so now, what does the worker do? So he took from the wrong pile. So Rami Azal Rami Meidach. So now what he does is he takes from the other pile. In other words, the pile of the deposited hops, the hops that needed to be watched, not brewed, watched. So Amr of Amam Hechen and Danedina Lahaidina. And once again over here, it gets complicated. So name Alele Dide Zil Shlim. Amr Anem Rele Mehai Rami. So name Ale. I'm sorry. Ana Amri Le Mehai Rami. So now, what are we going to do? We're going to turn to the owner and we're going to say, okay, owner, so I don't mean owner. I mean Shomer. Okay? I'm going to try to be clear over here in identifying. There are three people involved, the owner of the hops, the Shomer of the hops, who also happens to have been a brewer, and then the brewer's worker, the Sarsay. So now we first turn to the Shomer, so the owner of the brewery, and we say to him, okay, you're going to have to pay. And the brewer's like, why in the world do I have to pay? In other words, I turned to my worker and I said, hey, go take from that. And I think I pointed to mine. I didn't point to the one deposited by me. So name of the star says Zilshlim. Okay, so now we turn to the worker and we say to the worker, okay, you're responsible. So Amar Lo Mehai Rami Mehai Lo Tirme. So the Gemara says, okay, I want you to know that the owner of the brewery, the Shomer, so he said to me, go get hops. He didn't direct me which pile to take from. He just simply said, go get hops. There happened to have been two piles. Okay, so I took from one of them. I was supposed to know that one belonged to him and the other one belonged to somebody else. You can't hold me liable. So v'idush ashir lasuy alei v'lo aisi alei gali adaita denichalei. So the Gemara says, now, let's take time as a factor. In other words, now, if the two piles were right next to one another, like I kind of described earlier, so then I don't even think there's much to discuss in terms of faulting the worker. In other words, these two piles were in two different locations. And the one that belonged to the brewer was right by the brewery. The one that belonged to the other person, you know, the one that deposited, was, let's say, further away. Now, when I said to the worker, I, the owner of the brewery, said to the worker, hey, go get me the hops. And it took him a while to get back. I should have figured out at that point in time, he went to the wrong one. And so therefore, that was on me. So the Gemara says, okay, but the lo shah. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay. So let's take time out of the equation. In other words, it was equidistant and it would have been the same amount of time. So sof sof maip stay to ika. Okay, the Gemara says, okay. So I know you're stuck in terms of who's responsible and who's liable. I know that. I get it. Where's the loss exactly? In other words, what did he do? He took his neighbor's hops and he converted into a beer. That's an upgrade. Okay, so what exactly? In other words, I understand there's a question of liability, but in other words, but who's losing? So the Gemara says, well, I'll give you two scenarios.
Why is it an upgrade? They're the hops. It's the same hops, no?
No, but in other words, the taina of the owner of the hops. He's like, you ruined my hops. You didn't ruin it. You turned it into beer.
The hops is not much of a difference. My hops, your hops, just the same amount.
Gemara's point is that mishtar shei. In other words, you did not. If you destroyed the hops, so then we have a case to talk about. He didn't destroy the hops. He turned it into beer.
Oh.
Okay. So the maip say to ikavaka mishtar shelei. So Amr Abisama braid the rava have a shichra chala. So the Gemara says, okay, well, it's, you know what we could have imagined. In other words, it was not a good brewing. The brewing didn't brew well. So number one, shichr chala. It basically became vinegar, became sour. So that's one possibility. And Rav Ashi Amar, b'kisei umashlem le demei kisei. The way Rashi describes it, shaisa kishos grua, v'kotzim mu'ravimba, v'lo ishbiach ha-shechr kirtano, v'kasha be'inav she'itilu b'socho. So what happened was is that the hops were of an inferior quality. And then when he went in and when he brewed with it, so basically, it didn't come out to be a good brew. Okay, good. So the and so now what he's got to pay back, he's got to pay back the inferior hops. Anyway, point of all this is that we're still kind of stuck in terms of who was liable. All we did was just simply clarified was where was the loss even to begin with.
What is it if the guy didn't go after his hops? What's the difference?
But in other words, but he feels that he's who is responsible? Who is at fault? Okay, Gemara got a little bit stuck over there. Okay, Adkan, that really is the end of today's daf, and we're all caught up.
Wow.
Not even eight. What's going on today? Okay, anyway, where did we stand over here? So we've covered the first and only sugya in today's daf, and that is that when you're a shomer, so there are basic norms of responsibility and that you have to conform to those norms. And if you conform to those norms, great. And if you don't conform to those norms, you're a poshe and you're going to be held liable. Honestly, that really is a succinct. that is today's daf in a nutshell. Just happens to be that we got investing advice today. And we talked about the importance of not demonstrating and displaying your wealth to other people. Kadosh Baruch Hu provides bracha, but only if it's samui minayin, only if it's hidden. And we also covered today, right, an important topic of tchilas b'pshia v'sofa ba'ones. The Gemara did arrive at a conclusion. Tchilas b'pshia v'sofa ba'ones, you are chayav. That is the conclusion of today's daf. And finally, a number of case studies today where a lot of moving parts, a lot of people got involved, a lot of hands, and then it's just a question of, well, then who's going to be the responsible party? And many cases and not all the same conclusions.